Today on the AF Podcast, we have to break down Game 2 of the Raptors-Celtics series, Raptors fans. I'm sorry. I'm joined by South Shirai family member Big Brother Curtis as we discuss the Raptors' struggles versus Boston, what's next for Siakam, if the playoff schedule works out well for the Raptors, plus much more. South Shirai is available wherever you listen to your podcasts. Listen, rate, review, and subscribe to all of the shows from South Shirai Radio. Hit the like button, hit the five stars, the favorite button, basically anything that shows love to the show. Give it. And head over to SouthShoreAv.com to listen to my entire catalog of podcast shows. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. It's the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Ave Radio. We the North.
The North. Welcome to the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Ave Radio.
Welcome to the AV Podcast. My guest today is a despondent guest. He's emotionally disturbed and angry right now after the Raptors lost today. And he is past contributor to the show. Please welcome Big Brother Curtis, the South Shore family member, to the show. How you doing today?
I'm okay. Let's get this shit over with.
Hey, don't dismiss my show, man.
No, my bad. I'm just a little thirsty right now, man.
Well, I mean, let's get to the brass tacks here. The Raptors are down 2-0 in this series after losing 102-99 to the Celtics. I'm just going to come straight out and ask, man. Are the Raptors in trouble?
Yeah, of course they're in trouble. Anybody down 0-2 in an NBA Finals, you got to be in trouble.
Playoffs.
Yeah, wishful thinking, yeah. But yeah. Anybody down 0-2 in the NBA semifinals or the conference semifinals, you got to consider that you're in trouble. Your ass is against the wall. You know what? But I'm going to stand by my guys. They've been there before. That core group, they've been there before. They were in the same position last year, and they bounced back. So I think they're going to dig deep, go in their memory banks, and pull this shit out. I still believe in my guys.
Now, you know how it is in the sports, man. You got to go through some adversity. And since this restart, it's been pretty much smooth sailing for the Raptors. I mean, I think, what did they lose, like one game during this restart before this series started? Mm. So, I mean, the fact that they lost two in a row is one thing, and it's to Boston. And we all know this was going to be a tough series and everything else. I'm just going to come out and say it. I didn't watch every single game they played against Boston in this series. I mean, sorry, this season, I should say. But every time I've caught them playing the Celtics, put it this way, this is probably the closest game I've seen. And I understand that they've beaten the Celtics once already so far this season. But every time I've seen them play the Celtics, like, they've gotten beaten. Like, and not like a close game. Like, they've, like, Boston handled them pretty much most of the season. Like, I think Boston has their number, honestly speaking. And I know this is not something Raptors fans want to hear, but let's look at the facts so far. They've played each other six times so far this season, and they've won once. Toronto's won once. And I vaguely recall, but didn't you go to a game this year?
Yeah.
And how did that look to you?
Christmas time.
Game, right.
It was a fantastic game to watch for the Celtics fans. I you know what? They impressed the hell out of me Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. They impressed the hell out of me Christmas Day watching that live. Because what I noticed watching them live that particular day, what I noticed firsthand was that pretty much on every position, the speed factor was in play on every position. On every position, from the point guard to the center position.
Yeah.
The speed factor came in play. And they're younger too, and they were so much younger. Mm-hmm. Right? That was the key thing for me, was just how quickly and how their lateral movement were as a collective. And that's hard to contend with. Mm-hmm. You know, that's hard to contend with. From pick a position they're pretty much quicker at every position.
Yeah.
And that's tough. You know, and that's tough because that works on the defensive side as well. Them just.
Right, not offensively.
And just haul and tail back.
Yeah.
To defend.
Beating guys to spots.
Yeah.
Lateral movement, you know, everything, right.
The one team I didn't want to see early was actually two teams in the East was Celtics first and Miami. I think those two were going to be tough matchups for the Raptors. Mm-hmm. You know, I still think they can pull it out, but I know those two matchups were going to be tight. But I think Miami beats the Bucks. Mm-hmm. I think Miami beats the Bucks coming out of this. You know, so mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been surprised if it was the Raptors and Miami in the finals. But, any of those two matches, Celtics and Miami. But, damn, Celtics, they're just shooting lights out, though. Freaking Marcus, freaking Smart. What the hell?
I know. But that's the thing with Marcus. But that's the thing with Marcus Smart, though. He gets streaky, right?
Who the hell is he, man?
He does have those periods where he just starts knocking shots down. He has that irrational confidence thing going working for him. So when he starts getting shots, like I don't want to say he's streaky on the level of like a Starks was like back in the day, for example, but it's kind of similar to that where it's like he'll just start knocking shots down. I think there was a game this year. I think he had like 8 threes, and he's been playing pretty good this season. Yeah, like he had 8 threes in a game, but he's been playing pretty well this season. You know, for the most part, you know, he's really up and down and all that stuff, and he can go on both sides of the spectrum, but. This year he's been better offensively at least.
You know what? I watched him this year, and even now watching him even more in the bubble. The one thing I said to myself, he looks so much more fluid with the ball, and his jump shot looks so much more smoother, like efficient. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this: I think Kemba Walker really helped that guy's game.
Hmm.
I think being around Kemba the last two seasons, I think really helped his game.
As opposed to Kyrie?
As opposed to Kyrie. He just looks so much better
with the basketball.
alongside Kemba. Mm-hmm. I even watched it, but just his ball handling, it just looks smoother. Everything looks tighter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just speaking out. I don't know what the relationship is like, but I have a feeling he's really, really benefited from having Kemba around.
So I was right, obviously, you went to go watch the Christmas game. So I remember one of the things you were saying was like, yeah, everybody's talking about Jaylen Brown, but you were like, I mean, sorry, Jason Tatum, but you were like, wow, this Jaylen Brown kid, that kid in person is really nice, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing that's what, you know, what's happened, you know, unfortunately due to the COVID situation is, you know, everybody had this break to work on their games and be better. And you're seeing right now with the Celtics where you're seeing Jaylen Brown being like, he's basically an all-star. Like he jumped from the level to being like, wow, that kid is good, from the guy that you saw Christmas Day to, yeah, that's pretty much an all-star player. And Jason Tatum went from, wow, that kid's an all-star to, damn, that kid might win the MVP in the next 2 years.
Yeah,
like he went to like that superstar level. Like I remember right during the restart, I remember he was Jason Tatum was quoted as saying like he was complaining that he doesn't get enough superstar calls, and I was like, wow, that's kind of bold and interesting, you know. Before I started freaking out, and going like, oh, like what's wrong with this kid? And I'm like, he's already thinking like that already. I'm like, shit, that's interesting, you know. And he's kind of backed it up since this whole restart. He looks like. I know he doesn't get the notoriety in this bubble like a Doncic and a Lillard and, you know, like Booker and all these guys, but he's pretty much been that on that level in terms of how hot he's been playing. You know, like him getting like 30, how much did he get, like 34, 35 points? Like to me, that's not a, oh my gosh, it's a great game. That's like, that's kind of what I expect from him now. And it's funny because, you know, we've discussed this before, like the reason why some of the games in the bubble, I mean, from the restart just to the playoffs right now has been so good is because you're seeing a leap with some of these younger players, especially like the games overall has been really good. And we've already discussed that. But like the younger players, I found like they've all kind of made a certain leap, You know what I mean? Like the younger stars, especially, has all made that kind of leap where you notice a difference. Even if you're not stat watching and all that stuff, you notice a difference that wow, these guys have they've made that leap. Except Siakam.
Well, it's funny because I listened to ESPN radio today or NBA channel, whatever, XM radio, and I heard an argument in one of the shows in regards to, I think it was Paul Pierce that was saying, if you look at the series, this particular series, four to five top players, or three of the top four players are Celtics players. So we had Tatum. It was an argument. He had Tatum as the best player on the court. Jaylen Brown is a second. Siakam, Kemba, and Ka. And it's hard to argue with him. You know, it's hard to argue with him. I mean, right now, the way Siakam is playing in the bubble, he might be the fifth on that wheel. You know,
he might be sixth because I right now, just based on this restart, I will put Fred ahead of him right now.
Yeah, yeah. So they had an argument in regards to who's the second best player on the court. And it was either between Brown and Siakam. And as much as I'm a Raptor guy, if I could have called in, I would have said straight up Brown.
Yeah.
Because I can't compare to both. The skill sets are just, Siakam has a lot of potential, but he has so much work that he needs to go in the gym and to do. And I just give that to the fact that he's still new to the game somewhat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Compared to the other players like you're talking
about.
He wasn't in an AAU system from 10 years old, that kind of thing, right?
No. And if you watch the speed of the game he plays and it just his body control, you know, they're asking a guy who started playing late, he was playing post-up in college, to now switch to a 3-2 kind of thing. That's tough. That's tough to do at an advanced age, right? And I mean, he's making strides. I can't knock him.
He's done a great job.
Great job.
I have him as my on the second team All NBA, based on how he played. You know, before this, before COVID hit. But to me, he was like a second. He was one of the 10 best players in the league, just based on how he was playing throughout the year.
But listen, when Jade, my daughter, your niece, looks at Siakam and says he's going to do a spin move.
Yeah.
she's a 15-year-old track athlete calling it a spin move. And that's not good.
No. And that's the thing. Like I said, just to touch on what I was saying before, all those younger players from the Bookers to, you know, like Tatum
and they got a bag of tricks.
They got everybody came back with something. And I feel like with Pascal, I was like, okay, maybe it's a bit of a slow start, but I feel like he's plateaued. And I'm not saying plateaued going forward, like this is what he's going to be forever. Like, I still think like he still has room to grow. But I'm just saying in terms of this, that 3-month period, I don't feel like, I don't know if it may be mental. I don't know what it is, but something clearly is not come back with him from that pace they were on. Like their team has been really good. They've been playing really well up until these last couple of games. But he has not been the same player since coming to the bubble.
Maybe it's just expectations. But I think they put way too much expectations on the young man. As much potential as he had coming in, and he was playing great, there was so much expectation for him to be that guy. Like that guy taking the key shots, taking the last shot. Even that last play they drew up, I'm like, why the hell would you... when he stepped out of bounds, would you run that play for him to hit a corner three? Why?
Yeah.
Like, he's been lousy. In the bubble, not even in this game, in the bubble, he's been lousy. You can tell he's not the same player. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you run that play for him to shoot that shot? I would have ran a high screen and roll, high screen and pop for Serge. Because he's been lights out, and you have to respect the drive on, like, Van Fleet or whatever. And just kick back to Serge. You could have get the quick two or the pop to Serge.
Yeah, like they were in a position where they didn't have to get the three right away.
No.
And another thing too, as you're saying that, like the high screen, I maybe would have ran a high screen with him and Serge, so that he can get dice on him.
I didn't want the ball in his hands at the end though.
Yeah, because he just wasn't there.
I don't like even getting stripped by Smart. Like I didn't want the ball in his hands because he's not the same. He's not. You have other guys that you can go to, and that's something that's kind of throwing me off. As much as I love Nurse and I've, you know, give them all the love and so forth, I know in the playoffs you cut down your bench, but the one thing about the Raptors that everyone loved was they went 9-10 deep all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, you're limiting Powell's minutes, you're limiting Davis's minutes. You know, this type of game, you need Boucher. I'm sorry, you need that young guy's legs. You need his energy. You need his energy. Mm-hmm. Gasol, this is not a game for Gasol. This game is way past Gasol.
And speaking of which, you know, just to lend to what you're saying, I'm looking at Norm Powell's minutes right now. He had 13 minutes tonight. Boucher had 9. Terrence Davis had 6. And it's funny, yeah. One of the questions I had is, where is Rondé?
That's another one.
I actually have to check to see. I'm like, is he hurt? And then I looked at him. I'm like, no, he's not hurt. I'm like, why is he not playing? Because I'm like, just for the extra possessions. Like, even if it's not to score, just for the extra possessions and the loose balls and that, just to make things scrappier on their sake, I'm like, I would have him in for at least 15 minutes. I'm not sure why he's not playing this series so far. I don't know what's going on, but he's not.
But those are the things that I fell in love with the Raptors for.
Yeah.
Was that they had those bodies. They'll throw a Rondé in there for 8-9 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. You know? And he's got that energy. And just to give Tatum and Brown a different look.
Like,
you just got to give them a different look. And he's got length.
But the thing is, it's tough, though, because at the same time, I know you want to go 9-10 deep, but when you have somebody like Tatum that's on the court for, like, say, for example, tonight, he's on the court for 42 minutes. Like, mm-hmm. even if you're bringing in 9-10 deep, you're having, like, the second or third string guy going up against Tatum for 10, 15 minutes the way he's playing now. You know, they're going up. So that's what makes it tough, too.
Well, totally understand, but you're not getting no production from your star guy.
Yeah. So you got to do something.
So that goes out the window.
Yeah.
That's 2 games in a row. Actually, that's not even 2 games in a row. Just look at the whole bubble. Like, you're not getting production from the kid.
Man.
Like, you gotta trust the guys who you groomed to be in this position.
Yeah.
You know, you groomed these young guys, and the world fell in love with them because you groomed them to be coming off the bench and play balls out as backup guys.
Yeah.
And even when they do match up with starters, a lot of times the bench is what
carries them. Yeah,
what carries them through the season.
Yeah,
even against first team guys.
Yeah, no, you're right. Especially guys like Terrence Davis and stuff too. Even though he's a rookie, a quote unquote rookie, like he hasn't been playing great in the bubble either. But I mean, he's a guy that he's not playing with any fear. But now I'm starting to wonder if you start implementing these guys more. Is that fear going to kick in because they haven't been playing as much?
Boucher don't give a shit.
No, I know Boucher doesn't, but I'm looking
Boucher
at
don't give a shit. And Powell, I think Powell is a vet at this point. You know,
he's been through the playoff wars. He knows.
He's been there. I think he turned that corner and he was playing great. Now, anyhow, like to me, this series is no room for Gasol. There's no room, especially if you're not hitting the jump shot.
Because at this point,
there's no room for
at this point, the way the series is and the way the game is right now, like Toronto should be taking advantage of their size, but the way the game is kind of being played, how they're being guarded, just the way they're running their offense, like you can't even take advantage of Gasol pounding it on Theis or whoever's guarding him, because he's just looking to shoot the three or just kick it out. Like he's not even looking to score. You know, a lot of the time. So at this stage, I'm like, I don't know if coming into the bubble, he looked amazing physically. Like he lost all this weight, but it's like ever since it started, it's kind of like the Zion thing. Like he came back and you're kind of like, why is he slower? What's going on here? You know? But that's what it seems like to me. So I'm just rewinding it back to Siakam a little bit. This is
you
why
you got to get in the gym.
Well, I think this, get in the gym. I think this is why, like, in the beginning of the year, I was saying, well, you know what? I'm not going to put that expectation of him being the guy on him because you know why? You know, you've been watching sports for how many years? It takes time for these guys to, like,
too young
take
in the
that
game.
Role. Yeah, it takes time.
Too young in the game.
It takes time for these guys to get in the role. Like, with these younger guys, they're trying to get to the point where they have a championship, they got some hardware, you know what I mean? Like, Siakam's almost doing it in reverse, where he got the championship ring, you know, now he's got the...
Six-man award.
He's got some notoriety, those kind of things. Now he's thrusted in this role of being the guy. You know, two years ago, this was a guy that was coming off the bench. You know, now he's expected to, like, in the playoffs, step his game to at least 25 a night or more. And, you know, tonight he had 17, 8, and 6, but he shot 6-16 or 6-17 from the field, just looking at the stats here. But so I'm disappointed because he's not even playing at the level where he was coming into the season, you know, like how he was most of the season. He's not playing at that level. But as much as I wanted him to make that leap, as much as we were seeing with those younger guys, it's like at least those younger guys, like a Doncic, like a Booker, these guys are the main guys on their team. They may not be championship level teams, but they're the main guys on their team. You know what I mean? Whereas somebody like him is like, I think he's still kind of the same thing. Like, it's, he hasn't been in the game for, he's been playing ball for 9 years or whatever it is. Right. So it's like, you're trying to, like, learn all this stuff on the fly while you're on a repeat champ. You're trying to go for a repeat, and, you know, like, just everything's just happening at the same time. So I don't know if he's, that's just that. I wonder if it's a mental thing, because he's not even going to the basket hard. Like, at one point, there was a point in the game, I was asking myself, I'm like, yo, does Siakam dunk on guys anymore? He's not even doing that. Where it's like he's going strong to the basket, where, like, he can maybe catch a dunk on like a smarter or that type of thing. He's like doing little floaters, and, you know, his feet aren't settled. You know, like he's turning while he's taking the shot. Like it's just, and it may have worked at certain points this year, of course, but at this point now, it's like, I think he really needs to go strong. There's not shot blockers in the paint, so I'm not sure what's happening there. But I like, the struggles are, like, it's kind of exposing him a little bit as to what you're saying. Like, he's got to work a lot more now on his game. There's some things he's got to tighten up.
You know what? I won't be surprised if OG ends up being the better of the two when it's all said and done.
You think so?
If he continues what he's doing, I mean, he doesn't have the motor of a Siakam, but the athletic ability he has, like, he's been playing really, really well.
Yeah.
He needs actually more field goal possessions. Mm-hmm. He's been playing really, really well. He's able to take contact and finish with contact. He's shooting the ball like lights out now. Mm-hmm. And he can defend, right? But I guess I won't be surprised if at the end of the day, when the careers are all done and said, OG is the better of the two. And not to knock Siakam, but I think OG's upside is pretty fantastic as well. But he's got to go in the gym. He's just got to, you know, I always say, like, you're 6'9", you got mismatches. You can't rush mismatches. Smart's on you. You can't turn your back and go left, go right, go left, go right, like the chicken with a head cut off. You got to take your time, face up. The guy's 4 inches shorter than you. Take your time, just shoot over him. Don't try to go around him. You're making the game even more difficult when you're playing into his hands by putting the ball on the deck. That's why when there's switches and Smart or somebody else is on, like a smaller player is on him, and they give him the ball above the 3-point line, it irks me, because now he's got to do too much work, and it's not in a comfort zone.
Spot. Yeah, just to get to a sweet spot.
It's too much work he has to do.
And like I said, depending on the matches where it was before, that's fine. But with certain teams now, especially like this type of team where they're defensively strong, they're a smaller team, they're a quicker team, I think you got to, even if you're not posting up per se, but you got to get movement where by the time you catch the ball, you're catching it in the paint. You're catching it like 10 feet from the hoop where you could just go.
Boston is a tough matchup for him because even when there's no switches, it's either Jaylen Brown or Tatum guarding him. Mm-hmm. Laterally, they move better than him.
Yeah.
So it's a hard beat anyhow. And then when they switch, you're switching with a small man. And he's not going to beat smart off the dribble.
Yeah.
And even if you switch with Kemba, Kemba's small. He's going to bother the shit out of it. We've been there.
Right.
We've been there playing against a short-ass guard. It's like, you know, like, mm-hmm. It's tough. Like, I love the kid, but he needs a lot of work. He's got to get in the gym. I wish Nurse could extend his bench a little more. Mm-hmm. I want to see less of Gasol. You know, Serge looks fantastic. I think OG needs some more shots. And I think you got to play, you got to give more minutes to your bench mob, man.
Well, I hate to throw this question out there, but at this point now, do you miss Kawhi?
Yeah, but you of course you miss Kawhi. San Antonio. Look, San Antonio misses Kawhi right now.
Right, no, of course. I joke, but it's a half joke. And the reason why I say that is because last year, they were down 2-0 against Milwaukee, but last year I never worried. I thought Toronto was winning in six, and I never, even when they went down 2-0, I was like, well, they're going back home. The role players are going to play better at home. You know, Kawhi's going to be Kawhi. The Raptors are going to be fine. I'm not worried about them. And then they proved me right. They went on to win the series and everything else. But the thing with Kawhi is Kawhi clears up, and you can even watching with the Clippers right now, he cleans up a lot of your mistakes. You know, a lot of those mistakes that the teammates are doing, or shots are taken, shots are not taken. He cleans a lot of that up when he just goes on his little personal runs, or he just changes the energy of the game. You know, whereas this year it's like now they're down 2-0, and I'm like, shit, I don't know if they can come back from this. Honestly, I don't know if they can come back from this. You know.
I'm going to stick with my guys and say, you know, they're going to come back. They've been there. They know what it feels like. So I'm going to stick with them. And I think they can. Realistically, they can.
I think so,
But Siakam got to pull his head out of his ass. And I think the rotation's got to be a little more little more loose. You got to rely on your bench mob. A little more than what's going on now.
Right.
You know, because when the Celtics threw in Williams, that young boy's got young legs.
He's killing them too.
And a 40 vert.
He's killing them too. But the current, what makes it tough for them too is, well, a couple things. Number one, with the way the playoff schedule is set up, because they're in this bubble situation, obviously, they're playing every other day.
Which,
I mean, you're not flying out. You're not hopping on a plane. You're not going from city to city. You're just literally, you know, taking the team bus 5 minutes to your hotel or whatever. But for older teams or the guys that are like that have some veteran players on the team, that tires your legs a little bit. You know what I mean? So like a guy like a Gasol, even a guy like a Siakam and a Lowry really and stuff.
But even Serge, as great as Serge is playing, you can't rely on him to play huge minutes against Celtics with young guys.
Right.
Celtics is a young group. You need the bench mob. You need the bench mob out there. Even Kyle playing every other day. Nah, that chubby guy. Yo. he needs to go back to that three-day rest.
But this is the setup for the whole series. That's where that gets a little dangerous. And then to go back to what I was saying before, you know, from last year compared to this year, and this is not even a Kawhi thing, but like I'm looking at the role players, because like when they left to come back to Toronto against Milwaukee, you know, you're feeding off the home crowd, the energy, you're sleeping back in your bed, you know what I mean, you're doing all those things. But in this situation, like the one thing I'm seeing like in this bubble and some, at least some of the series so far, is that when teams kind of get figured out, like you can't feed off the emotion of like the you know, like the outside factors, like the crowd or anything else. Like, sure, it's nice to see your family members in the stands, but that's like 50 people. It's like an AAU game, you know. What I mean, at this point, between the reporters and like some of your family members or your friends or you know, or your jump offs, whoever you want to say. But like, you can't feed off that energy the same. And as a role player, like, that's where, like, last year the Raptors, it's like, yeah, you're coming home, 20,000 people are, you know, are screaming at you and screaming your name and giving you that life, giving you that energy. But it's like, and you know, it can kind of change a series where it's like, you saw it in the Miami series a little bit. I mean, Indiana was a little bit depleted and they weren't the same. But it's like, once they got figured out, it was like, that's it. It's just, there was just no coming back. So I'm not saying that's what's going to happen to Toronto, because I think they have, like, I thought this was going to be like a 7-game series regardless. So I'm not really changing my mind on this, but I'm more worried now than I am before with Toronto. I definitely am at this point, because I just feel like Boston for this season has their number, and I haven't seen anything that's made me change my mind.
Damn, for Fred, and I'm just looking at the box score. Fred played 42 minutes 57 seconds.
Yeah,
Lowry played 40 minutes, 42 and 40 minutes. For that's too much for those guys. Rondé, yeah. Zero. Crispy, yeah, it's like, geez.
And they're back at it at 6:30 on Thursday.
Yeah, that's tough.
Very tough. Extremely
that's
tough.
Tough. Like, Serge played 26 and a half. Gasol 21 and 22 minutes, 22 seconds. Way too much for him. They got to give some of those minutes, you know, from Kyle, and especially Kyle, like Kyle and Fred. That's tough to ask them to do against, like, Kyle's playing against Kemba Walker, who's
fast
as shit. Can't keep up. That's a, not to say you can't keep up, but that's a strain. Mm-hmm. And then Van Fleet is not the greatest athlete, and he's playing against Smart, mm-hmm. who's a bigger guard and just as good an athlete, but probably better athlete at a bigger size.
Yeah. And then when you get switched off,
and he was a defensive monster.
Yeah. And then when you're getting switched off, you got 6'7" Tatum, 6'7" Jaylen Brown. Because even on that last shot, you know, to try to win the game, like, you have a 6'7" guy on your hip, you know, and you're 6 feet tall. That's hard. I'm not saying you can't do it, but it's just more difficult to get that off. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what's gonna happen with Game Three. Definitely.
Siakam played 43 minutes.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm sorry. That's for a guy who's struggling. Like, sometimes you can't find your rhythm on the court at times. You know, sometimes you got to sit down and assess the game. Especially when you're playing too quick, you got to sit down, assess the game, and see what's going on before. Like, they basically never took him off the court.
Yeah,
he, other than 5 minutes.
See, he never broke that rhythm.
No.
So going forward, so Game Three, what are your what do the Raptors have to do to win Game Three at this point?
Ooh, like I said, I already said that shit. You know, less of Gasol. You know, play some younger legs, play some Boucher, play the bench mob.
Rondé.
You know, Rondé's a bit more. Yeah. You got to mix it up. They got to see different looks. Those cats got to see different looks. Because you make a good run and they come back, they hit you back with a 10-0 run after you make a good run. Like Fred, when they hit three threes in a row, when the Raptors were up 10, they opened the fourth. I literally threw it was a paper plate, I was eating some pizza, threw it across the floor. It's like, you make that run, it takes a lot to make that run. It takes a lot of energy. And then you don't have the energy with these young cats. You don't have the energy to prevent them from coming back with their own run.
Yeah.
It's tough. The ask is tough for those guys. You got to play the bench mob, man. I still think we can pull it off. But you got to change up that lineup. That shit ain't going to work, man.
Free Rondé. RHJ. Free RHJ. Before we go, though.
Powell, sorry. I know you said it before, but Powell only played 13 minutes.
Yeah.
For a guy who's, he had the best, in the bubble, my plus minus. He was playing lights out. I think he was like plus 64. Mm-hmm. And now you're paying them 13 minutes. Anyhow.
Well,
so, but I'm not a coach. I'm not getting paid for this shit. So what do I know?
But to wrap up though, unfortunately, you know, with everything that's happened in 2020, we lost a legendary icon in the basketball community. Coach John Thompson passed away.
Which one? Jeez.
Well, I know, but Coach John Thompson passed away yesterday, as of this podcast. So just really quickly, what are your thoughts on him and just everything that's happening lately with this? And there's so much people dying. Yeah, you know, we had, I'm not including Chadwick Boseman here, but Lute Olson, as well as Uncle Cliff, you know, Cliff Robinson passed away too. So what are your thoughts on Coach Thompson and the rest of those guys?
I mean, he's known as much on the court as he does the stuff he's done off the court for his players. You know, a legendary coach, his record, I think right now I heard he was like 60th overall in wins in NCAA. Mm-hmm. You know, first black host to win a NCAA championship. Hats off to you. He saved a lot of lives. Like personally, from you hear the testimonies of the Pat Ewings and the Mornings,
Iverson.
The Iverson is like the personal testimonies of those guys and what he did for them off the court. He just exemplified what a coach is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Not just somebody who cares about the X's and O's on the court, but the X's and O's in your life as well. You know? I mean, a graduating percentage of like 97% when he was at Georgetown.
Coming from that school, because people think that's like a lower level school. That's a private school.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, which is amazing.
That's great. You know, so, I mean, he'll always remain one of my favorite, you know, coaches of all time, for what he's done and for the game, and to see the kids he's coached and mentored become great players and icons in our world, in our basketball world. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sad to see him go. So rest in peace. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Quick story though. So Uncle Cliff, I refuse to call him Uncle Cliff, but I can't call him Uncle Cliff.
That's my generation. I can.
Yeah. So a personal story. He's the only guy to dunk on me in college.
Yeah, tell the story. I forgot about this. Tell the story.
You forgot about that story. So we played him. I played him in college. It was the first game at Storrs Arena. We played them the first game at that arena in Connecticut. And we scouted them prior to the game for like 3-4 days prior to the game. Big game for us, small school, playing a big school, you know, top 10 school. Mm-hmm. So we're hyped up, ready for this game. We scouted. One of the plays we definitely scouted was an out-of-bounds play, baseline out-of-bounds play. Mm-hmm. He started from like the 3-point line. There was a pick. And he came right down. They threw a lob from behind, basically from baseline. They threw a lob. And he'll catch it for a dunk. But you had to prevent it, all you had to do was bump him from having a straight run, a beeline to the rim.
Yeah.
You just have to, our guard just had to bump him. So I'm playing at the bottom. We're playing a 2-3. And I'm playing the middle. Baseline out of bounds. I look at my man. I look at my guys. I'm like, yo, we know the play. Bump his ass. Turn around. I'm looking at the inbound. I see him lob it still. I'm like, what the? I turn around. Uncle Cliff is nuts and sitting on my shoulder. I was so pissed. But all I can hear is my damn ass porn guard. Sorry, Kurt.
You got posterized. We got to find it. It's got to be somewhere on the internet.
Oh, yeah. So I guarantee it is, because we stayed the night in Storrs in the town, and we traveled back home the following day. We wake up. And we go to breakfast in the hotel. The hometown paper, guess what? Front page is that one play.
I have almost on a mission to find this now, actually.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The only dude to dunk on me in college was Cliff Robinson. Rest his soul.
And he was a tough player, too. He was a tough player in the NBA.
He was an All-American in college.
Yeah, I didn't realize he played that long in the league. I didn't even realize he was All-American. Like, he was – I never seen him until he got to Portland in the NBA. So I think you told me this story, like, years later, you know, probably from embarrassment, which I get. But I, but yeah, he had a great career, too. Like, he had a very solid career. Like, as you know, again, one of the best things you can ever be called as a professional athlete is a veteran, right? As Jalen Rose would I've heard him say that before. So the fact that he's had 18 years under his belt was amazing.
The fact that they his nickname was Uncle Cliff, that says a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the younger guys that he's mentored actually respect him enough to call him Uncle.
Mm-hmm.
That says a hell of a lot. You know, so... some good people, man. We lost some good people this week.
Yeah, it's crazy. Then Lute Olson, same thing. Like, everybody he's coached throughout that Arizona. Like, he made that Arizona program to what it is, right?
Yeah, he did.
That's a crazy thing. But John Thompson, I had a chance to meet him about 20, I want to say it was 22 years ago, 1998. Me and our cousin, we went down to the Final Four, and we had a chance to meet him. I'm still trying to find the photo album with my picture with him. But it was just cool seeing him like walk onto the bus to head to the Alamo Dome with the rest of the coaches. And I'm like, we're just like, oh my God, that's John Thompson. That's, you know, Hoya Paranoia, Ewing, Iverson, everybody, you know what I mean? Like, just, that's just, that's a walking legend. So, my cousin went up to him, and he's like, hey, Mr. Thompson, Coach Thompson, can I get a picture? And he was like, oh, sure. And he grabbed Brian and like he swung him around like a rag doll because he's massive, right? This guy's like 6'10". He's huge. He's like a mountain. So he just treated Brian like a rag doll and, like, you know, brought Brian with him and took the picture. Then I had a chance to take the picture and spoke to him a little bit. But it was just like, I'll never forget that, right? Because it's just, again, this was like a walking, living icon. Even back then, you were like, holy shit, that's Coach Thompson. So, like, I had my little experience, but that was, you know, something I'll never forget for sure.
Yeah, he was back then. He was a handful of top five coaches back then, like every single year.
Oh, hands down.
Of respect to coaches, top five every single year.
Hands down. Like, it's you know, it's a big loss, man. And again, like all the players in the NBA, because I mean, he went on to do stuff with the league too, and. And you saw everybody just basically give him that, like, you know, like the just like they treated him like a king. Like every, I'm talking like Iris, like, you know, like you used to do interviews with like Kevin Garnett and Rasheed Wallace and all these guys. Like, they were basically bowing to him. Like, this was the legend, you know, this was the legend, man. So, like, to see him gone too, you're just like, man, like, 2020 is just crazy, you know?
You know what? I appreciate 2020, though. I appreciate 2020. As shitty as it's been, I appreciate it because, you know, hopefully I can last it through. And what, as I say, what don't kill you make you stronger. So when I can come out of 2020, December 31st, I'll be a hell of a strong person.
Yeah, and also, you know, they always say life balances out, right? So you got to hope. Yeah. Like the other side of this coin, it's got to be beautiful. That's my belief, you know?
For real.
It's got to be beautiful. Well, on that note, I know this is we're talking about a kind of a somber day. You want to see the series be 1-1 with the Raptors, but on that note, thank you for hopping on the podcast. It's been a pleasure. It's been a slice. It's we can go ahead and go watch the rest of this game 7 right now with Jamal Murray being the best NBA player out of Canada right now. He's a guy that, we didn't mention him before as a young guy making a leap. Holy shit.
He's been lights out. But before you go, I just like to say one thing, and I hope my man's listening. I don't know, he'd definitely be listening. My gods are a bitch.
We'll end it there. We'll end it there.
Well, you will end it there. Just...
Thank you for listening to the AV Podcast. Special shout out goes out to Big Brother Curtis for hopping on the AV to break down Game 2 of the Raptors-Celtics series. I'll be back later this week to break down Game 3 of this series, hopefully for Raptors fans under better circumstances. Eesh. Listen, rate, review, and subscribe to all of the shows from South Shore AV Radio. And make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAV.com to check out my catalog of podcast shows. Once again, that's SouthShoreAV.com. For Big Brother Curtis, this is Cal C. And you've just tuned in to the AV Podcast on South Shore AV Radio. Until next time, peace. We out.